Tonight I'd like to look in the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to read verse 12 and down through verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 down through verse 15. All right, the Bible said, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Tonight we'd like to speak on the role of the pastor in the church. I know, and there's actually two points to the message, I think two general points. One would be the role of the pastor that's enumerated in these verses, and also the role of the church members. It's also enumerated in these verses. All right? I know when I first came here, I spent several messages preaching to you about the role of the pastor because I thought that's something that you need to understand where I was coming from. I think that's always a good thing. I spent several messages down through the years since I've been here giving you Bible verses about how you should call a pastor. I thought that was a thing to do. That's part of the work, I think, that God has given me to do is continually to have before you what the Bible says about various subjects, because that's the only thing that really counts. I know that when I first began to preach about the role of pastor, there's another subject that I followed up immediately after that, and that's the role of the members toward the pastor. But I gave you the role of the pastor first. You probably don't remember any of that. But I gave you the role of the pastor first. You know why? Well, I guess if you're going to fleece the sheep, you need to feed them first. I guess that's a good way to look at it. Because I wanted you to know that there are things that you ought to expect from your pastor. But there's things that the pastor expects from you as well. There is a balance there in those things. I also, in the beginning, I think the last time I preached a message of this sort was 4 or 5 years ago, but I did give you passages in the Bible so that when it came time to call the next pastor, that you would know how to do that. You say, "Well, are you figuring on leaving?" No, I'm not. I figure on being here and pestering you for a long time yet. But just in case I leave this world or the Lord calls me away, then you need to know what to do. You see, you need to know what to do. Because if I'm gone, then I won't be here to tell you. And you have to understand what that's about. You must understand that. So tonight, the first part of the message here is in verse 12, where that Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. He's writing to a church. And he says unto them, "And we beseech you, brethren." Now the word "beseech" there has indications of begging. I beg you. This is so important that each of you know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So we find here that there are some biblical principles for a pastor that each of you should know about me as your pastor, or that you should know about the man that will be your pastor to come, or that you should know about a pastor in general. All right? There's some things that you need to know. The Bible says that you need to know them that labor among you, and specifically, then He says, which are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So He's speaking there about how that the church, it's their job to know their pastor. Now, just real quick right here, I want you to think about what that means. I hope you know my name. Maybe by now you do. And it's not that name all those other people call me. It's by my given name, right? All right. But especially, you'll see here in this verse, to know them which labor among you. It didn't say here anything about especially knowing the personality of the man, but rather knowing them which labor among you. Now, I know that there are those out there that say, well, you know, the preacher's got an easy job. He just works one day a week. And there's a lot of folks that really believe that. Well, if it's one day a week, it stretches out a whole long time through the week. But you see, you need to know the kind of work that goes on. And actually, when you think about this, this is the outward act. And sometimes, the very first thing that anybody sees about a pastor is the type of work that he does. We often see what the pastor does before we see why he's doing what he's doing. Now, the Bible says that you need to know the man that is over you in the Lord, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So you need to know that. You think about this. There's three things to notice. There is to know what the pastor does. There is to know how he does it. And there is to know why he does it. Now, oftentimes, we see what he does first before we see how he does it. And sometimes there are those that never see why he does it. All right? Now, let me read you a passage here. In the book of Psalms 103, oftentimes there are those that, in their Christianity, they live on the surface of what they believe. They never really get down into the depths. They never really get down and understand the principles about why things work the way they do. Some folks, sadly, never grow up in the Lord. They remain babes all of their lives. They might go in and out in the church. They might be able to see what is going on. They may be able to see how a certain thing gets done. But oftentimes they never understand why it's got to be done that way. Now, read this passage in the book of Psalms 103. Psalms 103. If you are going to be the kind of believer in the Lord, the kind of follower of Jesus Christ that you really want to be, you need to see more than just what gets done or how it's done. You need to understand why it's done the way it is. Psalms 103 and verse 7, the Bible said this, talking about here about Moses and about the nation of Israel. He says, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. This is a prime example of the nation of Israel who saw what God was doing, oftentimes they would see how He was doing it, but they never did understand why He was doing it. They lived, as a nation of Israel, they lived on the surface of believing in the Lord. They never did get down into the depths of what really believing in God and trusting in God was all about. They lived on the surface. They had a name, but they never did really get down into the depths to see why God was doing what He was doing. And oftentimes, it's that exact same way between a church member and their pastor. Some folks want a pastor. Some folks want a preacher. And I've said before, and you hear him, there is a world of difference between a pastor and between a preacher. There's a world of difference. I could preach to you, but that doesn't mean I'm your pastor. Doesn't mean that at all. I think the relationship of a pastor and his people is comparable, it's close, like a husband and a wife. But if you just got a preacher, well, that's kind of like just having a girlfriend and not a wife. And I'm talking about a girlfriend that's pure, not like they got going on today. It's kind of like a man that has a lady friend that he goes to lunch with sometimes. But he's never really married to her. They never become one. And sometimes pastor cannot ever be close to his people because they just won't let him. And sometimes there's pastors that won't let people get close to him. Sometimes it's that way. So we need to understand that that's so. Actually, you think about the what and the how and the why. Normally, we're able to see what a man does and how he goes about it before we understand why he does it. But really, it ought to be reversed. We ought to really see why he's doing what he's doing before we see what he's doing. We ought to see the purpose behind the messages that he brings. We ought to see the purpose and the reason that he believes a certain way and does a certain thing. Not just that it's this way. We need to see really what's going on there. You see, if we can ever get a grasp on why a certain thing is the way it is, then the how and the what will just take care of themselves. But a lot of people are concerned more with the what and the how than they are with the why. They really are. But the Bible says that it is, back in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, He said, We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now that's your job to do that. That's your job to see why. Why do I think the way that I think? Well, sometimes I wonder about that myself. But there's sometimes reasons for why I believe the way I believe. I do not want to lead you wrong or to cause error to crop into the church. That is the furthest thing from what I want at all. I desire that when I end my ministry here, that the church will go on strong and will not suffer because of anything that I let down on. I've seen that happen. I've also seen it where that the pastor had so much control that the church members didn't know how to do anything. It was all left to him. And that's wrong. I've seen it so that the church had so much control, the pastor couldn't do anything. And that's wrong. There needs to be a working relationship together. I remember an incident that happened when I first came here. And it was concerning voting. And I remarked that I wouldn't get to vote. And I haven't voted since I've been here. I've not voted on anything. I'm a slackard. But I was told, well, you know, you will be the one to break the tie vote. And I said, no, I won't. Because I'm not voting. I'm not going to have half of you mad at me. My thought was this. Why did I say that? Just because I didn't want half of you to be mad at me? No. My thought was this. And this gets back to knowing them that labor among you and why the man is thinking the way he's thinking. My thought was this. If you're divided on the will of the Lord, we shouldn't even be voting. That was my thought. You say, well, we've got to do it. Well, then, if we've got to do it, the Lord has put us together. And we will have it together. But maybe this is, we're trying to push something through that God don't want. So just back off a little bit. Maybe it's not as important as we think it is. So just kind of back off a little bit. In my background, I had this experience with, and I said this at the very beginning, is when I came. You know, the church here pays me a salary, I guess that's what you call it, except you don't ever pay me. See, so it always goes to my wife. I just get to sign it, that's all I get. But that's fine with me. But at the beginning, the church said, we will establish and we'll pay your light bill and we'll pay whatever, you know, some of those bills for you. And I said, no, don't do that. I mean, why? And you don't do that. You don't pay my light bill. Why? I said this. And this is this, and I told you why. I don't want my light bill read in public. It's none of your business how much my light bill is. You pay me a living wage. That's your business. And whatever you pay me is what you pay me. That's your business. I've said that from the word go. That is your business. How I spend it is my business. I can do with it what I want to do with it. Say, well, you don't spend your money the way I think you ought to. Well, you don't spend your money the way I think you ought to. There we are. You see? So we're both happy being miserable the way other people don't spend their money right, right? There we are. But you just remember those things. I ask you this. As your pastor, I encourage you to witness every day, every place you go. Why do I say that? Our church does not have a weekly visitation program. Why not? I guess I'm the one standing in the way. Why not? Is there anything wrong with doing it that way? Is there anything wrong with having a weekly visitation program? Why, no. Nothing wrong with that at all. If you feel so inclined to do it, well, do it. I'm not stopping you. I'll help you. But has everything got to be initiated from the pulpit? Has every work that goes on in the church got to be started here? I'm going to give you that in just a minute. I'll give you that. It's in this passage. It's in this text. So why was it that I encourage you to witness daily everywhere you go? At your job. And I told you then that you can reach people that I don't even know. And I will never know. But you can touch them. Well, guess what? I can touch people you don't know. But see, God wants us to be a witness every day. Every day. That's what He wants. So He says, I beseech you, brethren, to know them. You need to know them that labor among you in the Lord and are over you in the Lord. Just a couple of things to notice here. And the Bible says this, and because the Bible said this, I'm going to preach exactly what it says. The Bible said here, and He's talking here about pastors, to them that labor among you. And I like the word among. Who, not through, not under, and in this case, not above, but among you. Who labor among you. Now, over you in the Lord. And I want you to notice a couple of scriptures here. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. We talk about this laboring that goes on. And this is my job. To labor in prayer and in the ministry of the Word. According to Acts chapter 6. That's my job. That is my job. The Bible said in verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5, 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially though they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now that's what the Bible said. And that's my job, is to labor in the word and doctrine. And that's your job to give the honor. I'm not to require it. That's your job. My job is to labor in the Word and in doctrine. The pastor, whoever he is over you in the Lord. And it would admonish you. It would really be a benefit to you to have a pastor that is after God's own heart and not one that wants to be a lord over you. But it would really be a benefit to you to have a pastor that God puts here. And not just somebody that comes in to fill the spot who's looking for a bigger church later on. Hebrews chapter 13, notice this passage. You see, the pastor, he has this responsibility and he is answerable to God for what he preaches and how he carries himself and how he conducts himself among you. Now, I'll tell you right now, I know some pastors that believe that they are accountable for their members. I'm not accountable for what you do. I'm accountable for what I do, what I give to you, what I preach to you. But you are accountable to yourself. But I'm accountable for my judgment's going to be hard enough without me adding to it down here on this earth, things that don't belong there. And I have to teach you the truth as far as God gives me understanding about it. But what you do with it lays with you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, the Bible said, remember them which have the rule over you. And as I've said many times, this is not a dictatorial rule. But rather, this is the authority of God that God has given to the pastor, to that position. This authority. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God. And notice that they speak the Word of God. And notice here he says, whose faith follow. That's what you're supposed to be following. The faith. The faith, that's where the link is. Considering the end of their conversation, the word conversation is manner of life. considering the end. As you follow the faith of the man that stands in the pulpit, your pastor, consider the end of what he's saying to you and what a benefit it should be to you. In verse 17, he says, in Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. And again, he's saying that. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It's not for him, but it's unprofitable for you. Pastors, and I know from my own experience how they a non-enviable job, a non-enviable position. I come into the church building and I always want to smile. I do, don't I? You're not sure. Okay. You're not saying. Okay. But you know, sometimes when I come in, even though I force a smile on my face, I got tears in my heart because I know what's coming. I know the message God's given to me. And I know the burden and I know the care that I have for each of you. You say, well, but I'm a faithful. I trust you are faithful to the Lord. But I pray for each of you that God would bless you and touch you and help you, give you understanding and enlightenment. Because there's no little sheep. You're all God's sheep. That's the way I look at it. So the pastor does have rule over you, but it's not a dictatorial rule. The pastor has a rule with the Word of God. And that's how the rule is. All I can do is tell you what God said. What you do with it, for your blessing or for your condemnation, is up to you. That's just the way it is. That is. I cannot control you. Don't have any intentions of even trying. But it hurts me when I see church members doing things that I know is going to get them in trouble. And when I know they're going to face severe consequences, and there's no way they can get out of it because they're doing things that's against what God says. And it's a burden to me about that because I know it's coming. I preached at the very beginning about the what and the how and the why. Remember that? Now, why do I know that you're going to face the consequences of what you do that's against God's Word? Why do I know that? Because God's Word said it. Not only that, but I've suffered some of that stuff myself. And I know good and well that if you're a child of God, you're not going to get away with it. And it hurts me to see you going down a road where you're going to have to back up and you're going to face a consequence. It hurts me about that. And it's a burden to my soul. Sometimes I find myself waking up and it's on my mind about a certain one or two or whatever, and I wonder what's going on. But I care for you. I love you. And I want to see you blessed of the Lord. The Bible, go back to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 12. Sometimes, it says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. You need to know your pastor. You need to know. I've been told in days gone by that a pastor and his church members should not be friends. I tried that and it don't work. I mean, it don't work at all. It's not wrong for a pastor to have friends in the congregation. I mean, the church is my life. Where am I going to have friends except it's here? It's not wrong to have friends in the congregation. I'm kind of careful. I don't want people to think that I think more of some than I do others. And yet, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard not to think more of some than others, especially when some help you more and others are hurting you more. You know what I'm talking about? Just trying to be honest. But to know them, and thinking about this, I was in one church, and I hadn't been there very long. It wasn't this one, but I hadn't been there, 2 weeks. And been a busy 2 weeks. And I went down, somebody said, "This woman, I want you to go see her." I said, "Okay." So I went down there. And I knocked on the door. She said, "Well, you're finally here." I said, "Yeah, man, I just heard you wanted to see me. What's going on?" She said, "You're supposed to come know me, find out who I am." And I said, "I won't tell you, I've been busy." "Well, what's more important than the church members?" I said, "Well, I tell you, I thought I might ought to unpack. I've been trying to find that stuff I had in them boxes." And kind of reprimanded her just a little bit. Of course, I wasn't supposed to do that, right? But I did anyway. Real bright. I mean, I wasn't hard on her. But finally she said, "Well, you know, I guess I come up there and knocked on your door." A whole lot nicer. Because after all, it was one of me to see a whole bunch of you around one night anyway. But you didn't. So, there's part of that. The Bible said to esteem him very highly in love for their work's sake. To esteem, that is, to hold in high regard. Now, I'm saying this not for me, but I'm saying this for your pastor, whoever he is. And you just remember this when I'm gone, that's what you ought to do for your pastor. If you want a happy church, that's what you need to be doing. And of course, there's works that a pastor ought to be doing. And a pastor has a grave responsibility that he might be right and not be partial in all of that. There's lots of things going on there about that. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Look at that. For their work's sake. Not because you just happen to like the way the guy parts his hair. But that you might esteem your pastor because of his work's sake. That's what it's about. The work's sake. The Lord's work. Not just his. Not just yours. But the work of the Lord. That it might be right. Notice. He says, "And be at peace among yourselves." Wow. I think I could preach a week on that. Be at peace among yourselves. Who's he writing to? Writing to the church at Thessalonica. And he says, "Folks, peace among yourselves." Amen. Be at peace among yourselves. You know, when church members are in disagreement, and I've been into some hot spots. I've been into some places that I'd rather not be, but one thing that I found out is that when church members are in disagreement, the pastor can do very little to get it fixed. That's why he says, "Be at peace among yourselves." Be at peace. Walked into a house one day and found out that the husband and wife were in disagreement. They just found it out. You couldn't tell it in public. But I found out in that house that they were in disagreement. So the husband said, I wish you could talk to her. And the wife says, you don't want to know. And I didn't have to say anything. I mean, I thought they was going to go to fist cuffs right there. I mean, I'm not talking about 20 and 25 year old. I mean, these people have been married for 40 years. And I thought they was going to have a knockdown drag out right there. It wasn't nothing I could do. I mean, they had years of bitterness built up. And there was nothing I could do about that. I could do nothing about it. So be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace. But I found that if I gave a scripture, they wouldn't listen, rather twist it around to suit themselves. They weren't looking for a solution. They were looking for somebody to say, you're right. And that's always wrong. We need to be right before the Lord. We need to be right before the Lord. Notice, I've read verse 12 and verse 13. We spent the majority of the time preaching about this. And of course, how that this is a good labor and this is a good thing. And this is just talking about a church and how that a church ought to be. And we ought to be at peace with one another. I mean, we really ought to be at peace with each other. We're all different, right? We got different personalities. We got different approaches to things. We got different thoughts about things. We got a different way of looking at things. And our solutions sometimes are different. But we still need to be at peace. We need to be at peace with one another. They don't need to argue and carry on and all that. I don't mind discussions. I really don't. You know, when you go looking for an answer to a problem, when you go to look for an answer to a problem, I've always wanted to be able to see all the points of view about a particular thing. Because sometimes that point of view that you might call extreme is exactly what you need. But I want to be able to rule out points of extreme when they're not the answer. But we need to be able to listen to one another and be able to be at peace about it. Because after all, what are we looking for? My way or your way? Which one? It's exactly neither. We're looking for the right way. And it really doesn't make any difference whose idea it is. We've got to get that through our head. And because somebody rejects what we think doesn't mean they've rejected us. Be at peace among yourselves in those things. Be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, he says this, now we exhort the pastors among you. To warn them that are unruly. To comfort the feeble-minded. And support the weak and be patient toward all men. That's the pastor's job, right? I mean, that's... I'm getting some kind of non-committal looks here. What does that say? You just read that. You just read that, what it's saying. Now, he's writing to the church. The letter is not written to the pastor of the church at Thessalonica. It's rather written to the church members. And look what he's saying in verse 14. Now we exhort you. See, up here in verse 12, he's beseeching them, begging them. Now, he's exhorting them. That is, he desiring fervently that they follow through this. And it's the church members who is to warn them that are unruly. I think the pastor has a place in this sometimes. Because the Bible said, in instructing pastors at one point, He says, those that are rebellious rebuke before all, that others also may fear. But that's not what he's saying in this place. He's talking here to church members. Be at peace among yourselves. He says, now I beseech you, I exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. There's been many a time that when a church saw something was going wrong, they would look to the pastor to correct it when he could do nothing about it. It is the church's job to discipline members, warn them that are unruly. That's the church's job. You say, well, that's the pastor's job. There's a lot, I tell you what, there's a lot of things laid on the pastor that's not his job that he cannot do. There's a lot of things that a pastor does not do that he ought to do. We need to keep all those various jobs in this rightful place. See, here's the thing. Warn them that are unruly. It may be that the pastor doesn't see an unruly member, but you might. Warn them that are unruly. But notice, now that's a toughie. I don't want that one, right? You got a pen in your hand? Just kind of put a line through that. We don't want to do that. Well, you can't do that either, can you? I tell you what you could do. You could put a line under it. But if you're going to put a line under it, be sure and put a line under the next one too. Where it says, comfort the feeble-minded. That's your pastor. Now, comfort. You see, look at that. Look at that. Look what it's telling us here about the church and how we ought to be a blessing and a help to each other. To warn, but also to comfort. That's not just the pastor's job. That's everybody's job. That's a member of the church. To warn and to comfort. And then look what he says, support the weak. That's not just the pastor's job. That's everybody's job. All of these things are. Be patient toward all men. That's everybody's job. It's everybody's job in verse 16. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. That's part of the work. That's part of the work. To be a blessing, to be a help, to be a comfort, to underline warn and to underline comfort. Just to be a help to each other. Those verses are good, aren't they? They're really good. Everybody would like to be a member of a good church. Everybody that's saved, everybody that's a good Baptist wants to be a member of a good church, right? We want to be a member of a church that follows the Word of God, that doesn't compromise on anything, that is full of love, hope, compassion, at the same time, knowing that there's standards that are set that we all must meet. We all want to be a member of a church like that. But all of us have to play a part in making the church be like that. Because it's not just up to the pastor. It's not just up to the pastor. He has to do what he can do. And he needs to be a leader. And he needs to be a spiritual leader and a guide and a help and an encourager and a warning and all of that. All of that is coupled in there with him as well. But it's the... Let me say it like this. It's the church members that make a church what it is. And don't forget that the pastor is a church member. Don't forget that. So when I'm saying that the members of the church make the church what it is, don't forget who the members are. And your pastor is one as well. And it's just as easy for a pastor to ruin a church as it is for a church member. Just as easy. It breaks my heart when I hear about church trouble. It really disturbs me. It just shakes me. It just makes me quiver. And I hate it when there's church problems. Because it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. But the Lord has blessed us here. The Lord has let us be able to work together and to love together and to sorrow together and to warn each other together as time has gone by. The Lord has just blessed us here. But I tell you what, if we deviate from what the Bible says and don't do what this book says, then we're going to be in the wrong place and He won't bless us. But you just think about how many churches have so much trouble and what an ache it is. And it can be here. But I pray God that He'll preserve us from it and that we might be doing what the Bible says in these very practical matters of knowing each other. Just knowing each other and knowing that the Lord is the head. Each of us have our place and we need to be in it and be a help to each other. That's what it's about. That's exactly what it's about. You see, it's more than religion. But it's real service to God. It's a piece of heaven on this earth. Is what it is. It's what a church ought to be. I'm going to quit there. I know there's lots of other things we could say, and perhaps in future messages we might bring some more of those. But that'll be good for tonight.